I guess we didn't really talk to you a whole lot during the spring. Did you? You came in like one or two times, I think, for interviews.
Probably twice at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did it go for you?
For this spring?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it went pretty well. I think my leadership level, mentally, went. I took it to another level than I ever did. Just a bigger role that with the new coaching staff and all the changes and some of the new guys coming in, and they have important roles into this scheme now, and just trying to learn the scheme all together as one and take it day by day, step by step. So I think my spring was, you know, pretty good.
What was it? What were some things that I guess the staff stressed to you about leadership? Was it being more vocal or what exactly was it?
I mean, vocal is one thing, but Coach Morris told me Deshaun Watson wasn't vocal, you know, but they don't want to change anything I do. You know, I lead by example always, you know, doing the right thing, and everybody sees that, you know. But I kind of figure, you know, take this team to the next level, I'm going to have to be more vocal. So that's one thing I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Brandon a minute ago, and I can't remember who he said compared you guys. Said Dre was a linebacker that would be like a guy that would lay his body on the line no matter what. Like, he didn't, like, if he got injured, he got injured, you know. But he said that you were kind of more like an anaconda that would like wait for, like, see somebody make a move and then you would strike. Is that a fair assessment of your playing style?
Yeah, it's kind of fair between me and Dre. You know, Dre's that guy that's, you know, Dre play with a high level of energy. You know, he's just always moving sideline to sideline very fast. You know, I'm more calm, you know, guy that, you know, always in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, at a different type of speed than Dre.
Where do you think you and Dre rank as far as like middle linebackers go? I mean, I guess Arkansas hasn't probably had two middle linebackers of you guys' caliber in a while.
Ranked in at Arkansas? I mean, I think we up there with some of the greatest. With I know Montrell Speed. You know, I haven't the history of Arkansas, but I know the last, you know, great linebacker was Montrell Speed, and then, you know, Brooks came in right after him.
Yeah.
So I think me and Dre's up there with some of the best.
What were your like initial impressions with some of the new staff?
Just trying to come in, you know, and build a family, a relationship. You know, they stressed that the most on us. It wasn't about football. It was about life after football. You know, and they showed that ever since they got here, and that was one thing that stuck out to you know the team really.
Mm-hmm. Did you follow any of the coaches? I guess Coach Morris, you researched what Coach Morris did and John Chavis did at the previous schools.
Well, I kind of knew about Coach Chavis through recruiting, through high school, and I went back, you know, when I heard that we was going to get Coach Morris in and look at some of the things he did at Clemson and SMU and how he changed that SMU program around.
Mm-hmm. Did Chavis recruit you in high school?
LSU, I was getting recruited by him, so yeah, he was recruiting me. He probably don't remember me though, but you know, but yeah, he was recruiting me.
I gotcha. I think it was the end of spring press conference, and somebody asked about surprises on the defensive side of the ball, and Coach Morris said that the linebackers surprised him a little bit. Why do you think he said that you guys surprised him? Because that kind of caught me off guard.
I mean, you know, it's first time he get to see us in live instead of just watching us on film. You know, they kind of knew what me and Dre could do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just seeing us live in person, how we run things, how we work together as a duo, it's just off the charts. And then, you know, some of the young guys stepped up big this spring. So kind of caught me by surprise with some of the young guys, too.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about your hometown, Harvey.
Yeah, it's, you know, not small, but you're not that many people in there. It's more, most of my family, you know, live in Harvey. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a decent community where I'm from. Like I said, it's just small. I don't really know what to say about it. It's a small town, though. Once you see everybody, you see one person, you see them, like, the next day, and you always see them again. So,
mm-hmm. I gotcha. Do you know anything about the athletes that have come out of John Arrett?
Yeah, I know Cardale Stewart. You talking about, like, history-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, history-wise, like, Cardale Stewart, Reggie Wayne, it's a couple of, like...
Yeah, they
like,
Elfrid Payton came
Elfrid
from...
Elfrid Payton came with basketball. Yeah, it's a lot of athletes.
Did you ever get to see Elfrid play?
One time I did because they had their point guard right up the street from me.
Okay.
Who didn't make it as far as Elfrid like he was supposed to, but you know, that kind of drugged me into going to watch some of their basketball games.
Yeah, I gotcha. I was looking back, and I know you grew up right around New Orleans. How old were you when Katrina came through?
I was in second grade, I think, Katrina. So I was about 7 when Katrina hit.
Yeah. What do you remember about it?
Me and my family left home for, we went state from state, like Mississippi. I remember being in Texas. And, you know, just coming back, you know, my side, the West Bank is what it's called, wasn't damaged, you know, like New Orleans part of the city was. Yeah. So, you know, our house and everything was still standing, just fences and the roof damaged. But it was just bad, you know, it was out of electricity for weeks, and water, and just the environment, it was just depressing, really. Yeah. That's all I remember.
What was there, like, panic that was kind of set in when you knew that it was coming?
Yeah, it was panic because it was picking up, you know, from a category 4 to a 5. Well, it was a 4 actually, and it became a 5 once it hit us, and it was panic. And it was, I remember, you know, just sitting in traffic for hours trying to get out of the city, and I didn't really like it as a kid, so.
Yeah. How long were you guys gone away from home?
I don't know exactly how long, but I remember just going state for state, and I know our last stop, I think, was in Texas because we went from Galveston, and then another hurricane came, so we had to go to Houston.
Wow.
So I was gone for a pretty good amount of time.
I bet. When you got back to Harvey, do you remember what it was like when you got back after the storm?
Yeah, not really. I really don't remember what it was like when I got back. All I remember was just a little about not everyone in the community was back. And I remember seeing a couple of them sad. You know, they were just crying about all the things they lost and that the family members had lost.
Mm-hmm. To where would you guys stay when you were gone? When you left home and you had to travel?
When we traveled, I remember the first stop in Mississippi was a family member house. And it was like maybe 40, 50 of us in, you know, in the house.
40 or 50 people in one house?
It was, you know, because our family traveled together.
Yeah.
So we went to another family member house, and it kind of sucked because, you know, you sleep in on air mattresses. And I think the lights was out, too, in Mississippi, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all trying to survive. You couldn't cook nothing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to bath in cold water and stuff like that. So that's what I remember. I think we went to Galveston, Texas. I like that style better. You know, it was in a hotel.
Yeah.
Made a couple of friends there. And then, like, another hurricane was coming to Galveston, so we had to hurry up and pack up and go to Houston. And I remember we stayed in, like, a school, like, 16 bedrooms, big field, and basketball goal. So that style was just like a Galveston style. Probably not the best style there.
Yeah. So you stayed in, a gym, almost?
Not a gym. It was an actual, like, school. It was just one building. In Texas, in Houston, like 16 classrooms in there.
Okay.
I don't know how we, I think with my auntie, because she knew somebody, she used to be a school teacher. So we stayed in there, and, you know, we had all electricity and everything. We were in Houston.
Right.
So it was fine there.
I gotcha. I was looking at college football sports reference page. I found out that you're the third player since 2000 with 100 plus tackles, 8 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks in one season since 2000. What comes to your mind when you hear that? I think first since Jerry Franklin in 2010.
Jerry Franklin.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a big accomplishment for me, and it, when I hear something like that, and it just want me to take my game to another level. You know, I mean, you play the game, I want to be the best to come through Arkansas, at least one of the best, you know, if not the best. And you know, just hearing that, you know, it's just motivation for me for the next season.
Sure. What was the jump from your freshman year to sophomore year like? Statistically, it was pretty remarkable.
I mean, my freshman year was, you know, Coach Hargreaves screwed me out there, you know, a lot. Sometimes in certain parts of the game, and you know, I didn't approach it the right way, you know, into the game. So he kind of played me pieces by pieces, not try to throw me out there in a wildfire, but you know, I understood what he was doing, and I had plenty of conversations, you know, growing up mentally as a freshman, and then physically too, I had to change my body around too.
Yeah.
And that was one of the biggest things that led me to have this, you know, the season I had last season. And you know, just my approach with every week with Coach Hargreaves and Coach Rose, and I just grew week by week. with the stats I was putting up, and the game slowed down, and it just became easier for me.
So when you got, I guess when Dre got hurt in that Alabama game, and you got, you
I got just a got playing time in the first
yeah,
half.
Yeah, you got thrown in there. Yeah,
I
what
didn't
was?
I didn't expect to play. You know, I was nervous. It was a home game.
Yeah,
and that was basically my first real game because Elkhorn, the environment wasn't like. And Little Rock wasn't like, you know, playing here.
Yeah, and this place was sold out over capacity. Yeah.
So, you know, I was kind of nervous, and I actually made it and we made like the first play, you know, but like I was a freshman and made freshman mistakes and I just grew from it, you know.
Yeah. So you said, were there any fears going in?
It was a little fear going in. You know, I wasn't extremely nervous, but I was nervous going into that game.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did you envision the production leap from freshman to sophomore year? I mean, I figure you expected your role to grow a little bit.
Yeah, because the end of my freshman year, I didn't play the bowl game against Virginia Tech, you know, but, you know, bowl practice is long before we got to the bowl site.
Yeah.
Practicing here, like Arkansas. And, you know, Coach Harker just pulled me in one day, going into the meeting rooms, like, do I feel myself getting better? And I was like, yeah, because I knew the role I was going to have to take for next year. So by Dre, you know, Dre re-injured himself again. So I knew I was going to be without Dre during the spring. So me being that younger guy and taking on Brooks' role, you know, I had to be at a different level than the rest of the younger guys behind me.
Right.
So I kind of envisioned myself going through spring and then fall camp. I kind of envisioned like I was going to have a pretty decent season. But as the season rolled on and I was growing, you know, I didn't really think I'd have that great of a season like that.
Right. What best moment at Arkansas so far, what would that be?
Football wise, I just period.
Anything.
Just anything. Mm-hmm. I think the best moment probably was the Ole Miss comeback. You know, I never been a part of that. I mean, I watched the Ole Miss game, you know, 2 years ago with Hunter and them plays. So just going down there, coming back from I think 24-9 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just a different feeling and excitement, you know, when you're coming back from a 24-point lead instead of giving it up like we did my freshman year. Mm-hmm. So that's probably one of the greatest moments, really.
Yeah, I thought you guys were way out of that one. has there been a low point for you at any point since you gotten here?
Probably, you know, freshman year, you know, you just coming in the fall camp, you know, that was kind of hard for me. I came here in June, well, May, and I did like 2 weeks and my father had passed, so I basically went home and I didn't come back till like the last week in June before fall camp, so I didn't get to, you know, go through the playbook with the guys that much and, you know, working out and stuff, and I went through fall camp and that was like one of the hardest moments for me.
Yeah, so you said your father passed
away? Yeah, my father had passed away.
What was you guys' relationship like?
I was close to my father. He was in and out of jail, you know, majority of my life, but he always, you know, checked up on me and he came see me and stuff. So, you know, he tried to keep the relationship even though he wasn't there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was younger, I remember him being at all my games, you know, through the neighborhood. Played star quarterback when I was young, so I was like, all of the whole neighborhood used to be there to support.
Yeah.
And I stayed with my godparents throughout my life. So, like, him and my mother always, you know, was there for me, you know, and always checked up on me.
Okay. I gotcha. I'm going to go back to that Mike Woods, Mike's live, Facebook Live video last night. He said that you could really hoop. Is there a game that sticks out to you? I know Brandon said that you dropped 40 on somebody.
I mean, yeah, that was you know, in the Merrills. I mean, not in the Merrills. That was EAU basketball.
Yeah.
You know, recently probably a game that stuck out to me was AAU season right before I got up here in college. You know, my senior year, went down to Texas and, you know, played a little tournament against one of the top teams in Texas called Team Texas. And, you know, they had a lot of scouts out there. And it was basically, I think we finished in, like, third place. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the last game for us. And, you know, it was up and down that game, just going against, they had real D1 talent. We know we just had, you know, regular guys.
Yeah.
And it was like a family team that I played with. And I think, you know, we made a comeback from about 15 points. You know, I was playing point guard or whatever. And to go into overtime, I had like 3 seconds left. I made like a half court buzzer beater.
Oh, nice.
Going into overtime. So that's like a game that stick out to me.
So you ran the show at point guard?
Yeah.
Did you play any other positions, or was just point guard was your thing?
I played the three basically on the wing, but most of the time I had to wind up handling the ball because they'll trap, you know, take out point guard out the game. So
I gotcha. Did you play ball in high school?
Yeah, I played basketball in high school.
How good were you?
I was good. Like, I always played basketball growing up. It was one of my favorite sports besides football. But, you know, my freshman year, once I started hitting the weights, you know, because I was a really good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, 5'11", though, so – know, my football coach told me, like, you're not probably going to get, you know, highly recruited in basketball, so you might just want to lick the football, stick to football. So, but I still play both.
I got you. I was wanting to ask about your nickname, too. I read that your mom gave it to you when you were really little. Is there a story behind it?
I mean, she said before I started walking, I used to just, like, scoot around everywhere. So,
okay.
So
I got the nickname. So. Do you like it?
I mean, I don't really care for it. It's not bad. So I wish I could have another nickname, to be honest. But,
yeah.
You know, I like Scooter.
You going to try to come up with something else and push that?
Nah, it's too late for that now.
Yeah. That's where everybody knows you by Scooter now, yeah. Yes, when you were in high school, you were Offensive Player of the Year in football, too. So you played both ways?
Yeah, I played both ways.
Yeah. What was Scooter the running back like? Because I imagine that's –
played quarterback in my senior year. I had to move to quarterback because mine got hurt the first game. But I didn't move to quarterback to about halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was – I grew up playing quarterback, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, just to go back to playing quarterback, you know, that was a lot of fun. Took my team to the state championship, but we lost. But, you know, that was just – I just changed that whole environment around there,
mm-hmm.
man, from the bottom to the top. And I still – remember all the feelings and, you know, go back and think about it and chat about it with friends.
Yeah. Is there anything that stands out from, I guess, your high school career in either, I guess, in football?
I mean, my high school career is basically just like from my freshman season and my sophomore season. You know, just playing linebacker. I had a pretty good defensive year my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just going to my senior year, you know, I cheated my body around two my senior year and preparing myself and just the things I did offensively from wide receiver, then the numbers I put up at quarterback, and then going back and playing defense, man, it was just a wonderful experience.
I wanted to ask you about this linebackers group, just kind of as a whole. What do you, I guess, just describe Dre's game?
Dre's like a Tasmanian devil. Like he's just full go every time. You're always going to get 110% out of Dre.
Yeah.
You know, even Dre plays with a high level of speed to where if he do make a mistake, he can always make up for it like that, and you'll notice it, but it won't hurt us. You know, sometimes it does, but majority of the time it don't. And like just me keeping Dre, you know, healthy is one of the things that's gonna help this defense, you know, because, you know, just missing Dre last offseason, you know, kind of hurt his game a little last year, but not really.
Yeah. Where do you think the depth is at linebacker?
I think the depth is here with this, you know, going back to this 4-3 and the new coaching staff and, you know, the change. So us, like I said, us learning this defense as one instead of individually is better for all of us, because now we have a couple young guys, about at least three at the most, you know, that's here and that's mm-hmm. ready. And they're about to be juniors, you know, redshirt sophomores,
right.
though, but they're about to be juniors, so they kind of know what they expect, you know, what they have to do to get on the field and play.
What about Grant Morgan? I know I saw him play a couple of times in high school down at Greenwood. He was a stud down there.
Yeah, Grant is a stud, man. You know, Grant won't be denied at anything. You know, his height, you know, just hurt him a little, but I think his height helps him also with some of the things he do, because he could get through gaps in quicker and faster than most linebackers could,
mm-hmm.
with his height-wise. But Grant's smart, and he used that to the best of his abilities, and that's why he make a lot of the plays that he makes.
Right. Did you play with Drew Morgan?
Yeah, I played with Drew my freshman
year.
Did
you? What is it with those Morgan kids?
I don't know, but I know they bring the juice, man. That's one thing.
Yeah.
You're going to get everything out of the Morgan brothers.
Yeah. What about D. Walker? That's a name that I kind of learned about this spring. What do you say from him?
I see D. Walker and also Giovanni LaFrance.
Yeah.
I see them and Alexi Jean Baptiste. Them three guys from where they were last year, from scout team in the offseason to now, like, they took huge steps that I try to get them to see that they don't realize, you know, because you also have to – I also try to remind them, you know, what the positive things that they're doing and how far they come along, instead of them just seeing the negative things they get from, you know, not as much negativity, but, you know, they get from the coaches and the things they see on film. But, like, them three guys took a humongous step, and they need to continue the things that they're doing for us to be a great linebacker corps.
Right. So what's – I know Coach Chavis is defensive coordinator, but he also works with you guys. Is he – What are some of the unique things that he does to kind of prepare you guys for what you're going to face?
Well, I mean, we haven't really got as much as game planning with Coach Chavis, you know, but he kind of tell us when we're watching film, you know, like, just to keep this call or this play in your head down the road. But, I mean, one of the unique things about Coach Chavis is when he first came in, you know, he tell us, especially me and Dre, like, I like y'all style of playing. I don't want to change anything. But, you know, he can help us in bits and pieces of our game, man. You know, he's just a laid-back coach. He never screams at you.
Okay.
You know, he's always, and if you ask him a question, you know, he'll answer it right away. It's not as much coaching. He just give it to you direct to where you can understand him right away so you can go back and execute it.
So what's he like in the film room?
In the film room, he's just a laid-back guy. We kind of watch film a little slower with Coach Chavis than what I did with Coach Hargreaves.
Okay.
But I don't know why, but yeah, he just laid back, man. He just makes sure that not that I just don't get it, that everybody in the room get it. You know, not just Mike linebackers like Will, too, because, you know, kind of cross-train a lot of the young guys at each position, and he just wants to be ball players. That's all he said.
Right. So what are some of the changes that you've seen? I know you've played for a couple of different defensive coordinators now. What are some of the key differences that you've seen?
I mean, the key differences I've seen is just I kind of think that our team is growing up now, and they mature to on another level right now, and they understand, and they are hungry, you know, individually, not just collectively. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make us a great team, that everyone individually have a role, and they know their role, and they want to be a part of something great.
Right. What do you like to do outside of football? Yeah.
Well, on my free time, I like to go to the Hyper, play basketball.
Yeah.
I do that the most. You know, just listen to music, or I just sit back with a couple of guys on the team, my roommates, some of the equipment managers, and we'll just play the game.
Gotcha. Who are your roommates?
My roommates, Lexi, Jean Baptiste, one of the equipment managers, Bryson Jackson, the D-lineman, Jonathan Marshall.
Okay. Do you play video games?
I play video games.
Are you in on the Fortnite craziness?
No, I don't even like Fortnite.
You don't?
I tried it once and I got killed, and I just haven't sat down it. Nah.
I tried it the very first time. The guy I used to work with, and I finished like third.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was awful.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you get recognized on campus a lot? I guess you probably do.
Yeah, I guess most of the time, I think I met majority of the people on campus. Well, you want to see guys, you know, guys keep up with sports, so they know. But majority of the guys that I meet, you know, is basically in the Hyper playing basketball with, and like frats and stuff. But yeah, I get recognized majority of the time on campus.
So you said Jamario Bell's pretty good basketball player, too?
Jamario Bell is probably the only guy on the football team who probably could have went D1 in basketball.
Really?
Like,
okay.
He was that good.
Yeah. I'm originally from South Arkansas I'm probably like a little over an hour away from Junction City.
Yeah.
And Junction City's crazy about basketball, man. They're nuts about it.
He played like AAU with Arkansas Wings, I think.
Okay.
So you know Arkansas Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So Jamario's like pretty good at basketball.
Man, he's got good size for it. Oh, my God. Like, I stood next to him one time this spring. He's a monster.
Yeah.
I had one other question. What was it? I think that's it. I can't remember. Who's the toughest running back to tackle?
In the SEC or here?
Here.
The toughest running back right now is probably Chase.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's not easy to bring Malik down. It's hard to bring Malik down, but it's just hard to get a hold of Chase.
Okay.
Like, he's just quick, and he could change direction. He could change it in different type of ways. I mean, TJ is kind of shifty, too, but it's easier to catch TJ than Chase, because Chase could stop on a dime one way and then keep going the same way instead of changing the opposite way. So you got to get to Chase before he get moving, to be honest.
I remember I asked Randy Ramsey about the running backs, and he said that Malik was kind of like Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
The way he runs.
The way he runs.
Yeah, is that fair?
Yeah, Malik run hard. And a lot of people can see that he's a bruiser. And I think he don't get much credit for his speed. And in high school, he was like, you know, one of the top guys in Florida for track. So, you know, Malik is kind of like got an all-around old-school type game that people haven't seen yet. And I think he's going to be a really good running back here.
For sure. What about Devoy? What makes him so tough?
I mean, Devoy run, he's not a bruiser, but he can surprise you and be a bruiser. Mm-hmm. And Devoy, I think what makes Devoy hard tough as a running back is that first step. You know, when that block is going downhill, and he can change directions too. He can surprise you because he's so big, and you know you don't expect that. And I kind of compare Devon to like a Nick Chubb's, you know, because of the frame and you know the speed and his style and how he play.
Who's the toughest guy that you've had to try to tackle?
And as you say, this season it probably go to the Rico kid from South Carolina.
Okay.
Number 5, the running back. Like he runs hard.
Yeah.
And he don't go down easy. I mean, guys run hard too, and guys run low, but I think the Rico kid, you know, he was the hardest for me to tackle.
Yeah. What was what do you think Darius guys? I mean, he's a guy that kind of intrigues me. He's got some personality, and he'll let you know. I feel like he'll let you know.
Yeah.
Like he's as good as he is. What was it like going against him?
I mean, just going to my first time. Not the first time, you know, I played in my freshman year, but I mean, just having to play a full game against guys, you know, it was a fun experience. And like, I didn't do that much trash talking to him, you know, I made a lot of tackles on him, and I just went up on my way. But I think, you know, he was just coming, you know, pay his respect to me, you know, because he knew the type of back he is. I knew the type of back he was, man. Yeah. It was just fun, you know, just to be going against, you know, all those guys, you know, from my home state and that I know about, they know about me.
I gotcha. I think that's all I got, man. I appreciate your time so much. What's this week looking like for you?
Oh, man, I just got a tutor right now. The 7-8-page paper I just finished up.
A what?
7-8-page paper I just finished. Wow. That's why I was like 5 minutes late.
Yeah, you're good.
That's why. But, I mean, day this. Tomorrow is the last day of class.
Uh-huh.
But we still got finals next week.
Right. I got you. So, finals week looking pretty busy.
Yeah, it's very busy.
I got you. I've been out of school for 3 years now. I don't miss it.
Yeah, I bet. I can't wait to finish up.
I bet. Well, thanks for your time, man. No problem. I appreciate you so much. That's